You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy.
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for October 24th, 2023. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter. We suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we want to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. And we're streaming on Facebook, so you can share your comments and questions there as well. We're going to start by talking about last week's weekly tittle, which was called Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. The assignment was to consider eliminating an item from your home by gifting or donation. Let's hear from our participants in Zoom and on Facebook. Who took a crack at giving something away this week? Please let us know in the comments. Diana shared her tittle report in a comment on our website. Diana really got to work on this tittle.
She did, man.
She writes, "Perfect timing. My husband has gone out of town for a week, and I immediately began gifting all the products I've been taking mental note of lately." She put gifting in quotation marks.
Air quotes, yeah.
"The decluttering journey is a solo trip for me. It makes him uneasy, and that in turn stalls my efforts. Not this week. One, food we will never eat before it expires went to the local food pantry. Two, towels that have been replaced but could potentially come in handy someday to the local animal shelter.
Good job.
Three, candles I decided were not my scent, lotions, potions, etc. that I tried but didn't like, and cleaning products that were not the miracle I had hoped have all been rehomed via Buy Nothing Group. All expired food and miracle products for personal care or household use have been trashed or recycled. Electronics to Staples for recycling, light bulbs and batteries to Home Depot for recycling. It's only Monday, so should be a productive week."
Right? That is an incredible six errand list. So she went to six different places or interacted with six different, you know, groups or whatever to get this stuff to go away. What a miracle of rehoming you did today. And your husband's absence certainly created a window of opportunity for you here. And as long as you're not handling his personal things, which I can tell that you aren't from the things that are on your list, you're really ticking off those errands with blazing speed. So proud of you. And good job executing all those to-do items while he's not there to be stressed by it. If he finds the rehoming process a little unnerving, great. You're taking the opportunity and you're getting them all out of there. And I'm sure that that list, completing that list, is really satisfying for you. I mean, it was satisfying for me to read it as an organizer,
right,
to see all the places you went, all the things that got relocated. So I'm sure it's satisfying for you as well. Huge congratulations to you. You're doing a great job. Totally killed the tittle this week. You win the prize.
Well, 100%. And I think we should ask Diana for a follow-up in a few weeks to let us know whether he even noticed anything was missing.
Very good point. When he comes home, does he walk around and go, "Oh my God, what happened to the stuff?" Or is he completely blind to it and you quietly made all those things go away when he wasn't looking? Circle back and tell us, like, what did you do for the rest of the week after you did all this? Love to see what else got done. So good job.
I think she'd be entirely within her rights to just sort of
do nothing, right? Like, to go get a massage.
Yeah. Maybe it might be time for a pedicure.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, because that is a list that anyone would be proud to be able to report and say that they went to all those places and did all those things. So good job. We're all clapping for you. Yay.
Yay. You know, there were so many good comments this week between, you know, comments in the show notes and on the YouTube video. Mm. I actually wanted to share a second one related to last week's topic.
Okay.
YouTube viewer, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. It's not my fault if I'm not, because, you know, made up names. YouTube viewer Carlicophobia shared this comment on last week's video. This topic hit home. I have been helping my 84-year-old grandmother go through her clothes and shoes. Much of it has come to my house as gifts for me. And she put gifts in quotation marks. They're all high quality items, but we have about 4 closets and 3 extra clothing racks to go through. The expectation we set is I will keep what I want, offer items to other friends and family, and donate the rest. We work in about 2 to 3 hour chunks, and I try to remove the excess from my house before the next session.
Which is, I'm going to start from this backwards and say, it's great that you figured out that in order to take what you want from your grandmother, that you have to make room for it in your house. And so removing excess from your house first gives you the window, gives you the space to receive things coming from your grandmother. So that's important. That's an important thing to notice and to do. The 2 or 3 hour chunks is, I'm sure, as much as your grandmother can handle. And 4 closets and 3 clothing racks is going to take a long time to go through, right? And ultimately, I'm certain that whatever you do with it, or whatever you're telling her you're going to do with it, she's just going to be relieved that it has left the house. She's going to assume that you took some things, you're going to give some things to family, and you can make an effort to do that, but you don't have to drive yourself crazy. And in the meantime, you're taking out things now that your grandmother has agreed to let go of, and all of those things getting out of her house is going to lighten her load, and it's going to make it easier for you and whoever else has to come in and clean up after she's gone. So, doing it while she's there to make her own decisions about it, and for you to redistribute a little bit to yourself and other family members or friends, it'll make her feel good that some of her stuff went to people that she knows or can hear stories about. And in general, then the rest can go to donation. And I don't think she will be tweaked about it at all. She won't feel like you are getting rid of her stuff without thought. And so it seems like you guys have worked it out, and you got a great process going, and you're being respectful to her, but you're also being respectful to your own house as well. The idea that you're taking things out first to make room for what you're bringing in, so that you're not just completely drowning yourself. Like, you're not relocating the clutter from your grandmother's house to your house. You're trying to be thoughtful about that. And I think that's super important as well. So you're respecting her, you're respecting yourself, and you're taking that excess and letting it go out to donation. And that's really great. So good job. Keep it up. I know it's going to take a while to get through, you know, at 2 hours at a time, it's going to take some time to get through 4 closets and 3 clothing racks. So you're going to be at this for a while, but it sounds like you have a great process and you're going to get it done. So we're cheering for you, and come back and tell us about it. Like, let us know how it went. How did your grandmother experience it? How did you find it? How many hours did it take? Just come and give us a report later. We'd love to hear it.
Okay, we have some reports from in the Zoom room as well. Naomi says, a new roommate moved in yesterday. I had to clear out half the fridge and freezer for her. So while I was at it, I also cleaned.
Oh, that was nice.
Gosh, it's spooky to open the fridge and see those gleaming white unspotted surfaces.
Isn't it?
She goes on to say, I also threw out a few things to make more space in the fridge and freezer. Only things that had been in there for more than 3 years. That's a very reasonable cutoff, I think.
That's a pretty low bar for the fridge and the freezer less than 3 years old. Wow. I'm not sure that you want to be eating 3-year-old food. So good that you got rid of it. Maybe you don't want to eat the 2-year-old food either. You can try a few and see if they're bad, and maybe you can do a second round and get rid of a little bit more later. But good job. And I'm sure that, you know, your new roommate appreciated that the refrigerator was clean when they went to put their stuff in the fridge. So that was nice of you.
M reports, I didn't work on Tittle, but continued clearing a room, taking photos along the way.
Oh, good. I know that the photos are super helpful because we immediately forget how full the corner was when it's not full anymore. Like then you lose the mental map of how bad it was before. So good for you that you're taking photos so you can see before and after, and you can remind yourself about all the work in progress you've done. I know it's helpful.
Connie says, I gave away a few books I was saving. Also went through my skinny clothes and found two skirts, all donated now.
Yay, donations. Good job.
Kara reports, I gave away a chopping / slicing / dicing contraption to my sister-in-law. She wanted to try it, and I found that I didn't want to clean it or store it.
There you go.
A knife works just fine.
And the sister-in-law can play with the stuff. One of my friends who cooks a lot in San Antonio had one of those mandolin things where you hold it and you do like this with stuff and slice.
Yeah.
And of course she did what everybody does, which is she got her finger in the way and sliced the tip of her finger off. And then it went in the trash. that was the end. Like when she had sliced the tip of her finger off, that was the end. It's done. It's gone now. So yeah.
Yeah. A mandolin is a wonderful, wonderful tool, but you can do some serious damage.
There's damage, right? Like, yeah. Mm-mm. So yeah. If it's a slicing and dicing contraption, let your sister-in-law put her fingers at risk instead of you. So good job.
It seems like every week we have at least one person who tells us how they failed at the tittle. And this week that honor goes to Catherine, who says failure, went to garage sale and estate sale, couldn't resist.
That would be the backwards direction. That would be right. The pulling things in instead of letting things go. So that is definitely the antithesis of the tale that last week. It's okay. We will, we will be here to support you when you're ready to let those things go again.
Jane shared, this week I went through jackets and hoodies and have a bag of them ready for donation drop off on Wednesday.
Oh, that's perfect. And this is a perfect time for that, right? Like now is the time when they're going to want those jackets and hoodies as it's getting cool. And they're putting that winter gear out right now. So good job. You're just dovetailing into what they're doing already. That was great.
Well, and she went on to say, knowing this is a time of year when others can benefit from this specific donation makes me feel great about it.
That's exactly right. Good job.
Paula says, I kind of started the tittle in that a friend and I decided not to hold a yard sale we had planned. Everything that was set aside for the sale is now bagged for a thrift store trip. It'll be such a relief to get it out the door.
Right? Because there is nothing like saving it for the garage sale that means that it is endlessly parked somewhere in your house, never to leave again. I have had that conversation with clients many times over the years, and they'll say to me, no, I don't want that, but I want to save it for the garage sale. And I'm like, you know, you're not having that garage sale. You know, you're too old to have that garage sale. You know that you are it's too hot to have that garage sale. You know, you're not going to do that. And we have to have that whole conversation about how much work do you want to do to get the money out of the stuff. It's a lot of work to have a garage sale. It's a young person's game. And that's always my sell. It's like, it's hot outside. You got to talk to strangers. You have to do a whole bunch of work to get it out in the garage and set up. And do you really want to do that? No, you don't. And that's why I still sit here in the corner of the room. So good job for shortcutting straight from garage sale to donation to the thrift store. Good job. You were spared my lecture.
Tammy shared, I woke up in a panic and started general visual decluttering, motivated by shame because a friend is coming over. My heart was beating fast. I have a laundry basket and some creamer to give him if he wants it. He's bringing a couch, and I'm ready to release a very, very old love seat with sad memories to him or anyone who wants it.
Oh, awesome. Trade it out, baby. Get rid of the one with the bad juju and bring in one that has neutral emotion about it. That is awesome. Good job. That kind of stuff, it's surprising. Even furniture can have icky memories attached to them. And sometimes you just got to let it go because it's still a good couch, but it makes you sad to look at it. Let's get it out of there. Like, you don't need to live with that. So good job that you're working that out. And I'm hoping that he's going to drop off one couch and take the other couch away. And that way, you know, you have made the switch and you'll be left with one couch that you are neutral about, which would be a great improvement. We're rooting for you. Yes, he will. Great. I'm glad to hear. That's wonderful.
Okay. We have time for just one more.
Okay.
Tittle report. Laurel, who's with us on Facebook, says, I worked on a floor plan of my retirement house and measured the spaces for storage furniture. Then, oh crud, I need my yarn to fit in one drawer. I gave 12 batches of things to Buy Nothing and a carload to the dump and 3 kitchen bags to thrift.
Wow. Good job. That was a big downsizing thing that you just did there. And yes, you still have some yarn and you can still do your thing, but in keeping with your new smaller space, you're going to buy as you work instead of having a big inventory and then storing that in your smaller space. So this is how you adapt crafts to smaller environments, right? You don't have as big of an inventory and then you go and I'm going to do this project and you go and buy the yarn for that project and start working it right away. And that's how you keep yourself doing your craft without living in your craft supplies. And so good job. Sounds like you're doing it and you made a big dent in your supplies and you're ready to enhance your plan. Get ready to move. It sounds like you're imminently moving if you're drawing floor plans out. So good job. We'll look forward to hearing how the move goes.
Okay. We should probably get on with our main topic before we run completely out of time.
Okay.
From all the great comments. This topic came to us in a response to a recent survey. Marsha wrote and this was her suggestion for a topic. How do you get your motor running? Is it okay to put the car in park for a while? Are detours good or bad? I've paraphrased that a little. She wrote a longer piece, but I wanted to pare it down. This got us thinking about how much our decluttering process can be like a road trip. Today, we're going to talk about traveling light, planning your route, or relying on serendipity, and trying to enjoy the journey as well as the destination.
Personally, I really like the metaphor of a road trip to help understand decluttering as a journey. It includes all the stages of a physical journey, complete with the stops, traveling mercies, and traveling disruptions. So we're going to belabor that metaphor today and talk about how decluttering is a road trip.
We're gonna drive the metaphor right off the cliff at the end of the movie.
Yes, we are. So how decluttering is like a road trip. We're going to run through some bullet points and talk about that. Some people like to plan the whole route. So if you're one of those people that likes to plan the whole trip when you're making a road trip, from a decluttering standpoint, some of us find comfort and the ability to focus in having fully developed plans. So just like planning the whole route, we want to make a list of all the things that we want to do and go through the process of, I'm going to get help here and I'm going to go drop off there and I'm going to work in these rooms and I'm going to work in this order. And I'm going to, you know, if you need to make that fully developed plan to feel comfortable and to feel like you can start the project well and you can manage it well, if that's how you get comfortable and get going, great. You can plan the whole route. Some of us like to go where the wind takes us. We just want to get on the road and go, or we want to go, yeah, we're going to Galveston. We don't know what we're doing when we get there. We're just going to go. And so having that approach works as well. If you are a person that gets ease of mind by following a less elaborate but more flexible plan, then go for it. Doesn't make any difference. I come to people's houses and walk in and see it for the first time. And here's my parameters. Here's the size of the room. Here's the density. Here's the kind of stuff that's in there. Here's the tools I have to work with. Here's whatever. I assess what's going on. And then I dive in and get started. And so I'm not writing a long and involved plan before I show up and try to work with someone. But if you're more intimately knowledgeable with your stuff and you would rather have a big, long plan, you can develop it. But if you're somebody that just wants to do the next thing that comes in front of them, then you can do that too. And ultimately, from a decluttering standpoint, it all has to get done. So whatever order you do it in is fine. So plan it all out first and follow the plan. Think of it as a project and project manage it. Or think of it as a meandering journey in the car. And you're just going to go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and not have judgment about it. And you do that because not being bound by that plan is more of, it keeps you more of ease of mind. It keeps you calmer than to feel like you're trying to execute that big project management plan. Either one on the journey of decluttering works is what we're saying. You can journey overnight. Sometimes you get in the car and you go for a short drive, you go for a short overnight trip, or maybe you go for a long weekend, or you're going to go for many weeks. And that journey duration can be split up into pieces that fit your schedule and your needs. So there isn't any hard and fast rule about traveling and how long that journey has to be. And the same is true about decluttering. You can go declutter a drawer and walk away. You can spend 15 minutes at a time and walk away. You can do a 3-hour appointment with an organizer like you would when you would, if you were working with me. You can put in several hours over several days and be working on it for a longer period of time. So it just depends on your own personal energy level and your ability to focus and what kind of free time you have, whether you do an overnight stay or whether you do, you know, a 2-week vacation where you're focusing on it nonstop for days at a time. Got to work it in for however it works for you. She asked, how do you get your motor running? Which I thought was a perfect way to say, how do you get the project started? And also, does the car start right away, or does it take a while for the engine to turn over? Like, do you have to crank it for a while before it gets started?
Do you have to sit in the car and play with your phone for 5 minutes while it warms up?
While it warms up, exactly. Lucky you, if you can just dive right in to begin a project, that's one less project obstacle for you. But if you have to warm up the engine or struggle to get the engine to turn over, then you might want a mechanic to help you get going, right? So maybe you need a professional support, like you need a professional organizer, or you need to talk about it with your therapist to help you get going. Either way is fine, and support yourself in whatever way you need to go. If you find getting started easy, then great, and you can go get started and you don't need any support. But if you do need some support to get going, then reach out and get it and call the mechanic, that the mechanic of your choice that you need. Maybe the mechanic is you need to come and listen to the podcast and recognize that you're not alone, or recognize that other people are facing the same kind of struggle that you are, or you can ask questions in the chat and get some support before you get started. Pick a topic that we've already done that covers the area that you're going to do and listen to that before you get started. Whatever helps you get in the mood is fine. And make sure that you support yourself in that way. If you need some help, go get it.
Catherine threw in the comment, jumpstart.
So maybe you have to take a running start, like when you have to push a car and pop the clutch to get it going, or maybe it's dead in the driveway and you got to like attach the batteries and jump the car. Sometimes you have to start really small. Sometimes you have to do a little micro task to make it, to roll the project forward. You got to go do one little drawer. You got to go spend 15 minutes, and you got to spend 15 minutes a few times during the day or over a couple of days to get you rolling. But just like the train that's going down the track, when it starts from a dead stop, it takes a while for the wheels to get rolling to speed. And so it's okay if you have to ease into the process, whatever speed that you have to step into it a few steps at a time until you get rolling, it's fine. It doesn't matter to us how fast you get started, right? So you can totally do it at whatever speed works for you. Another way that this is a decluttering is like a journey is imagining your passengers in the car with you. So maybe you're traveling with somebody in the back seat who keeps asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Sometimes those that are along for the ride have a lot to say, but don't make a lot of actual contribution to completing the project. They just like looking over your shoulder and providing unsolicited feedback. And I have to tell you, I have a husband client who loves to come, like he lets me work with the wife for like 2 hours out of the three. And then he wanders into where we are and stands there and looks very pointedly, looks around at the stuff. Like he's inspecting to see what's changed. And I just want to smack him every time he does it because it is very intimidating to his wife. It makes his wife super uncomfortable that he comes to inspect in the middle of our appointment. And there's no polite way for me to say, dude, back up. You don't need to be inspecting right now. Go away. And so we just have to let him come and do his survey and make his comments and then it go away again. And then I say to the wife, okay, we're done with that now. We're going to move on. And that person who watches and contributes verbally, who provides feedback, but is not actually doing the work, is sometimes, you know, it makes the journey annoying. As a little kid in the back seat yelling, when are we going to get there? It makes the journey annoying. And so just like dealing with those little kids in the back seat, you have to patiently explain to your fellow traveler that you're working a process and it takes some time to get it done. What was created in 6 months or a year is not fixed in an hour. So get a grip, dude. Like she can tell her husband to get a grip. I can't tell him to get a grip. So it's also happening in the estate client that I'm working at right now, where there's four siblings and the one that's been made the executor is the person that is in charge of emptying the house, but it's taking a long time and she is not getting support from the siblings. And so sometimes you want the people in the car with you and they won't come along for the ride. So if you're going it alone, I'm sorry. And you know, maybe they'll join you later in the trip. You might be traveling with somebody who called shotgun and is traveling with you in the front seat. And if you're lucky enough, you might have that front seat person who is an accountability partner for you, supporting your decluttering journey. They're there instead of to complain or give unsolicited feedback. They're there to help you navigate, to give some good feedback about what you're doing and to support your success. That accountability partner is a much more pleasant traveling companion than the backseat rider who's complaining. So hopefully you can get an accountability partner to support you and let that accountability partner ride shotgun with you on the trip. But it's possible that you're on this trip by yourself and you're going down the road without any passengers at all. And it means that all the decisions are yours, even as all the work is yours. So you get the joy, maybe joy is stretching it, but you get the benefit of making all the decisions yourself and not having to consult or, you know, get other people's opinions, even though you have to do all the work yourself. You get the benefit of making all the choices yourself, which is, you know, there's some benefit for that. For everyone that's had to negotiate with family members about where the car is going, you totally would rather just like tell them to shut up and we're doing it this way and my way or the highway. Right. And so, if you're on this journey by yourself, you at least have the benefit of your own decisions. You want to make sure that you support yourself if you're on this in this trip by yourself. So make sure that you got your favorite music happening or your favorite podcast, that you are well rested to go on the trip. And typical for everybody that's traveled by themselves, you want to take frequent rest breaks so you can get to the destination safely. So how that translates in this decluttering concept is don't work at it so hard that you burn yourself out. You want this to be, you want to get from where you are all the way to the end. And in order to do that, just like a long drive, you need to stop when you hit a rest area and take a break and let your mind rest and let your body rest and make sure that you're in a good physical condition to keep going. And so we're going to hope that you are thinking about stopping at the rest areas on the road as you're driving the car down the road. I'm thinking of my trip at Christmas time and it takes 2 days to get there. And let me just tell you how much I am tired of being in the car by the time I finally get there.
Quick relevant comment. Linda says, on my decluttering road trip, I plan only as far as the next rest area.
Oh, good. And that's the, you know, like the, instead of having the full plan, you only have the next step plan, which is great. So you just move yourself one more step forward along the journey. Good job. Good analogy, by the way. You're picking up with the analogy process. Some of us travel very light when we go on a trip and we use a small overnight suitcase, preferring to use what we have over and over. And what this looks like in decluttering our unstuffed closets and cabinets that aren't overfilled, with room to add things. and a home holding what we need to function and some favorites, but not a lot of excess goods. And then others travel with items against all possibilities of problems that you would encounter on the trip, or all the possibilities of clothes that you might want to wear while you're gone. And they really never leave home without it. In that euphemism, they never leave home without it. They travel with a whole bunch of stuff. I will say that as we age, this approach gets harder and harder. So keeping more than you can physically manage and more than you can get around in the house, and more having the cabinets be full and the closets be full, it gets harder and harder and requires physical strength and mental focus to keep all that stuff rather than to thin it down and live in a more functional space. If you have a whole bunch of stuff and you're young, you can keep up with it. You can move around it. You can move things out of the way to get other things. And it's not as much of a barrier. But the older we get, the more that excess and that overstuffedness in closets and cabinets and on the floor and in the hallways and whatever, that overstuffedness gets in the way of your ability to function. And so just think of it as when you go and get on the airplane, your luggage shouldn't be too heavy. You don't want the carry-on bag to weigh a gazillion pounds. You want to travel light. The older you get, the more light you want to travel, because it makes it less wear and tear on your body to get through the journey without all the stuff, without dragging all the stuff behind you, right? Our survey taker also said one of the questions that she asked was, is it okay to park for a while? And what about taking detours? Stopping when you need a break is good for the longevity of your focus. You want to be able to stay on the project, and you want to be able to take good care of yourself. So you need a break, stop and take a break. Just don't spend more time recovering than you do working. When you find that you're recovering for, you know, four times as long as you're working, then you're just procrastinating. You're not resting anymore. So stopping and taking breaks, putting it in park, perfectly reasonable thing to do, just like stopping at the rest area. If you need a 15-minute break, stop. If you need a half an hour break, stop. And register that maybe you're assigning yourself a task that's too long to do, that you need to make the task a little bit shorter. When you go back to it, don't plan a work session that's quite as long in order to make it easier for you to manage.
The analogy here is there's the rest areas in Nevada that all have casinos in them.
Yeah, you don't want to go into the casinos and set up shop in Nevada. That's perfect. That's perfect. Exactly. You want to go and, you know, take care of your business and walk around a little bit and breathe some fresh air and stretch your legs and then get back in the car. You don't want to go lose. Keep on moving. You don't want to get back. You don't want to get stuck in the casino and start losing all your money. That's the truth. Another way, this is like a journey. Maybe you're one of those people that when you go on a trip, you go from one tourist spot to the next with a fully packed day. My sister is like this. When we travel with her, she has an itinerary. There's a million places to go that we got to hit all these highlights. She knows where they are. We have it all mapped out. Like, she's ready to go. And I am not that person. So if you are a high energy person and you can work on the decluttering project and work a full day and work at full speed, maybe you're going to work and you work at full speed until you fall out, until you pass out, until you know, I've got to sit down finally. It's very productive until it's overwhelming or exhausting instead. And it might break you down before the job is complete if you hit it that hard and really run at it hard, and which is probably how a high energy person typically runs their day, does their normal life. They can tackle most other things at that full speed at an 8-hour day without it, and then crash at the end of their day and it's not a problem. But there's an added level of overwhelm that comes with dealing with all the decisions that happen related to decluttering and taking what you typically do as a high energy person and modifying it to give yourself a little bit of rest and make sure that you can survive to get to it another day would be important. If you're not that high energy person, maybe you meander along your stops in a very leisurely way, then those that like to travel that way have a very long job turnaround time. Meandering through the decluttering process stretches it out, right? And so it may take you longer to do it, And it may be a long while before you get all the way to the end, but it is also stress relieving to tackle it that way. So it might help people stay working on it longer than they would normally if they're doing it in a more meandering way. For those of you with the time to do it, it's certainly a less frantic work environment. There are, you know, you have to empty the house, it's estate, we got to sell the house, there's a deadline. You're moving, there's a deadline. That somebody's moving in, there's a deadline. Like there's reasons why you can't meander through your decluttering journey. But if you can, if you're clearing out of the house is sort of an open-ended process, then you can do it at a more leisurely pace so that it is less frantic, that it is less wear and tear on your body, that it is less mentally challenging for you, mentally stimulating for you. And you can do that approach and it's totally okay. And then how do you document the journey when you go, when you go on this trip, how do you document it and relive it after the trip is over? So do you experience it without a camera, preferring to take in the scenery without committing it to memory? Or do you spend a lot of time taking photos or writing in a travel journal, or maybe you send back a bunch of postcards? Some of us want to mark the changes that are happening with evidence of what was and what is, and others would rather focus solely on enjoying the journey and the end results. Whichever person you are, do whatever you think is supportive. So if like M talked about, she was taking pictures as she went along because that is supportive to her. She likes to be able to compare before and after and know that she's made progress. And if that is supportive and it helps you stay focused and it helps you get the motor running as our listener offered, then great. And if you are okay with, I don't care, I just need to clear it out and I want to look at the clean space in the end and that is my reward, then awesome and go for it. Just make sure that you're doing whatever helps you stay on the journey, get to the destination, which is you're happy with your decluttered space. The end of the analogy.
Excellent.
Wasn't it great?
let's have some comments. We've had a lot of good comments as we went along. So I have to scroll back a little bit here.
Scroll. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, Michelle's is more of a, I think, a more of a tittle response, but I want to share it anyway because she put a lot of work into this comment.
Okay.
She says, I think I've broken the cycle of buying and retaining picture shelves. I had bought two IKEA picture shelves to use as spice racks, but after I lost the receipt, decided they were too wide. I bought another two from another shop, decided they are too narrow. I have given the IKEA ones to my sister, who wanted them, returned two to the shop, and have now bought the perfect pair. Collected them yesterday, ready to put up this week.
Yay. Well, and I'm very proud of you that the failed attempts got rehomed. That's super important because a lot of times I come in and part of what I'm pulling out is the first six tries for this to solve the problem. So if you have already gotten rid of the things that were the fails for you that weren't going to work for you, then great. And good job decluttering your house. And you got exactly the right thing to go for it. And that's all you have in your house. And that's great. That's the goal. Good job.
Okay. Connie wanted to know which one of us is Thelma and which one is Louise. And Jane actually answered and said Gailma and Lued. That might be a little bit too much of a stretch.
Gailma and Lued. See, I was going to say that you would be Thelma and I would be Louise.
You know, it's been such a long time since I saw the movie. I don't remember which one was which.
Oh, yeah, right. That's hilarious. I love it.
Who was Thelma?
We're still on the journey, though. I think Thelma was the Susan Sarandon. She was the organized one. Okay. And Louise was the flighty one, but
carefree.
Yeah. On that journey. Luckily, we have not gone off the cliff yet. Right. We are still driving the car. Me and Ed are still on the road doing our thing. Edma and Gillies.
Ooh, it's getting
those
worse.
Those are funny. Jane commented. You guys are playing with us.
Jane commented, decluttering sometimes feels like Gilligan's Island. The three-hour tour often takes much longer. I'm not sure I don't know if that got syndicated outside of the United States because that was such a long time ago, but
right.
That was a television show about some people who were going on what was supposed to be a 3-hour boat tour, and they got shipwrecked on a desert island with and had all sorts of ridiculous hijinks.
Right. As a result, for many seasons after that. That's hilarious.
M commented that a person in the back seat here is very critical, making accusations like you're a hoarder.
Okay, no, we're not. Mm-mm. Okay.
You can't push them out of the moving car. That is not an option. So what do you suggest instead?
Right. Gail. So I would suggest that I would actively avoid conversation about it. And then if you cannot avoid conversation about it, then you can say, I'm working on it. And, you know, we laugh about this in the NAPO boardroom because sometimes we have to say, thank you for your feedback, when what we really want to say is shut the F up. Like, oh man, you're just making me mad. So we don't want to, I don't want you to get into an unsolvable conversation with someone who's accusing you of you're being a hoarder or whatever. Like when they've started calling you names, then we don't need to have that discussion. So you just want to extract yourself from that and not engage. However you need to do that, I think it's very important to just be like patient. And I don't know how to describe this exactly. Like really, they're entitled to their opinion, but you don't have to take it on. Like they can have their opinion, but what they think does not have to be your reality, right? So they can be having their judgment, but you don't have to have that judgment about yourself. And so you can say, thank you for your feedback, which is basically the mental equivalent of, how did we used to say it as kids? It sticks to you, I'm rubber and you're glue, and it bounces off me and sticks to you or whatever.
Yeah.
Just have that mental thought, thank you for your feedback, and then step out of that conversation, because there's nothing to be gained by either arguing with them about it or agreeing with them and agreeing that, yes, I'm a hoarder. So now what? Like, how does that help you at all? So this is a conversation that you just need to surrender to not having it and to avoiding it. And you go on about your business of doing what you need to do. Now, if you feel stalled, then that's a different conversation. And you still probably don't want to have it with that person. You want to have it with your accountability partner, with somebody who is being supportive and helping you navigate. Like you need that person to support you through what your actual roadblocks are and where you're getting, you know, where you go roll off in the ditch and you need help getting back on the road. And so you do want somebody who can be supportive around that.
I see what you did there.
Did you see what I did there? But you don't want that person that is, you know, actively trying to push you off the cliff. Like that's not helpful. How is it helpful to call somebody names and offer no suggestions other than, yeah, no, don't get me started on that. That's not going to help you guys get going, right? To have somebody label you and call you out and be negative to you about it, right? And when has that ever made someone want to move forward? So we're going to, you know, let them have their opinion and we're going to actively not take it on. We're going to tell them, thank you for your feedback, which is the mental rejection of their opinion. And then we're going to go on about our journey and keep trying to work on it. And the fact that you're here listening to a podcast about organizing is evidence of the fact that you are hoping to learn, that you are willing to learn, and that you are trying to take steps to do differently. And so there you go.
Tammy commented, born to be wild. It didn't even occur to me that get your motor running is the right there at the beginning of born to be wild. And she also shared, I'm driving my life away.
And right.
Ease on down the road.
That's a good one, right?
Regarding the husband who comes in to evaluate the progress you're making.
Right, in the middle of the appointment, yeah.
Amanda says, do you need something? Can we help you? Make him feel like he's interrupting.
So the wife has said that a couple of times.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. Good.
She has said it a couple of times, like, can we help you? Yes, she has said that. And clearly they get their husband and wife to, I can't speak to him like she can speak to him. And so,
Right.
yeah, she I feel bad for her because I can tell by some of the things that she says that she does feel a little intimidated or put upon when he comes in, and so her reactions are a little defensive. And but she does say stuff to him, and then he makes a joke and then wanders away. And so it's like, whatever, whatever gets you back out the door, dude, that's fine by me. We
Right.
got work to do in here, so get out of the way. And it usually he doesn't hang around for too long, thank goodness.
We're getting lots of help in the comments extending the metaphor. Catherine says, enjoy the scenery of a clear, clean surface.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. Enjoy the scenery. That's great.
This is a little bit of an aside, but
Okay.
even though we've lived in Chattanooga for 3.5 years now, and I've visited here a dozen times before we moved here, I had never been to Rock City. And if anyone
Rock
who's ever
City.
driven around the eastern half of the United States has probably seen signs. There are these signs painted on the roofs of barns that say "See Rock City," and there are also signs that say "See Seven States" because there's a spot on Lookout Mountain where theoretically you can see into seven other states. So I'm wondering
Wow.
where I'm going with this is how do we extend this metaphor to tourist traps? What are the tourist traps of the
Oh, I
decluttering
know.
world?
Oh, so I know what they are because where do you, when you go to a tourist trap, what do you do? You buy souvenirs,
Right.
right? Oh, so the tourist trap part of this metaphor is buying, organizing supplies, buying, organizing containers, buying product to help you work on the project instead of working on the project. There's a version of adding to your chaos by buying stuff to help you get it done when really what you need to do is just get in there and start getting rid of stuff, right? And so that buying part comes later in the process when you are more clear about what's going to stay. And then you're like Michelle was getting the exact right thing that's going to work in her house for her pictures. And so you want to buy that product when you have a very clear picture of what you need to manage and where it's going to go. And then you're going to add the products in. So this is sort of the equivalent of don't just go running through the souvenir shop and pick up everything that's part of Rock City and bring it home because it's not, that's not going to help you. That's just going to add to your chaos there.
I should also say, so I don't get in trouble with the Chattanooga Visitors Bureau, that Rock City is really cool. It
Was
is
it
a tour.
fun?
It is a tourist trap. It's kind of expensive for what it is, but it's a beautiful, beautiful spot on the top of a mountain with an incredible view. So
Right.
it's worth a trip.
There you go. All right.
Susie says, the person in the back seat here asks why I am throwing her things away, in air quotes. They aren't her things, and sometimes I just move them to a different spot in the same cabinet. She has even asked me why I was going to get rid of my things, which is none of her business. I would prefer to be cleaning the place by myself. By the way, she also complains that the house is messy.
Oh gosh.
That's a lot to process. That's a.
That's a lot of complaining. That's what that
Right.
is. That's a whole lot of complaining. So I think that you have to recognize her point of view and evaluation for what it is, which is probably not based in a lot of reality. It sounds like her perception is off a little, and that it might be that mentally she's just in complaining mode. She's just in a complaining mode of her life.
Well, or this is her response to change, any change.
Right. The change is disruptive and that it might, she's having a trouble adapting to it. And so, again, thank you for your feedback. I mean, if you know that she's going to have these responses no matter what it looks like, then you can just accept that that's what she's going to say and think of it as background noise and keep working how you're going to work. And sorry that you have a critical rider along for the journey. That's never fun. You can share success stories like if someone is complaining about it being messy, you can say, well, you know what I did to work on the mess today? I like you can be mentally supporting yourself while also responding to her by saying, you know what I did today? I cleaned the kitchen. I vacuumed the living room. I took the light bulbs to the recycling place. Like you can give them a report of things that you worked on today, progress that you've made, even though they may land on deaf ears or it may not change her point of view. But I think it might make you feel better if you can say in the face of judgment, criticism, you know, complaint, in the face of that complaint, if you can say something back that you're saying as much for yourself as for her, I did accomplish something today. I did work on this today and make progress, and be reminding yourself out loud that you got something done, which is important. And then think of it as, you know, pretend like you're telling us. You can certainly say, this is what I got done today. And while she's complaining, you can you know, imagine talking to us and telling us, this is how I moved my project forward. This is how I worked on my space. This is how I improved my living conditions. And, you know, and we'll listen to you in absentia. We don't mind being in your head and letting you tell us in your head that you got something done. We have no problem with that. I think it's important that it's likely that there's not going to be any changing how she approaches it and how she interacts with the world around it. And so if it's a stress response to change, if it is because she's declining mentally, or if she's depressed in general, and so her focus is in negative, coming from a negative point of view, there may be all kinds of reasons why you're getting that kind of feedback that don't really have anything to do with you. And so there's not really anything that you can do to change her. So really focusing on doing what will change you and make you feel okay about it is really the only way you can go. Like you really just need to support yourself around this and not take on wherever she's coming from as the reality or as the truth of the situation. Let her have her opinion, let her be in her mental space around it. And she's entitled to that. And you can see it a different way.
Okay. A couple more quick comments and then we're out of time. Connie says, I think I got too many parking tickets already.
I love that analogy. You've been, you know, sitting on the side of the road for too long and it's time to get in motion. So that's the universe's red alarm bell version of here's another ticket. You probably need to get on with it. Right.
And then M said, I tend to start a different trip when I take a break. Not sure if this is good. It gives me an emotional break when an area gets to be too much, but there are decluttering messes all over the house.
Yeah,
so that's you're taking some detours.
Yeah, that's definitely some detours. So I would give yourself a limit. How many detours can you take? When you are sick of route one and you go detour on route two and then you detour on route three, I think you've detoured enough and you have to go back to route one. Like you don't want six journeys going at once. You want to circle back. Like you just need to task switch to give yourself the mental break. And so switching between three different tasks back and forth, back and forth, back and forth will probably be sufficient to give you that mental rest that you're looking for. And not, and then you have three decluttering messes in the house instead of an endless loop of them, right? So just to, you know, think that at some point you have to go back to the start. You can't just keep coming up with a new journey. You have to go one and then another and then another and go back to the start again and make a circle before you end up in Mexico.
Okay, let's talk about next week. I want to remind everyone we'll be back for our next live webcast next Tuesday, October 31st at noon US Central Time. We're about ready to kick off the season of fun, food, shopping, celebration, and the chaos that runs from Halloween into the new year. This year, why not make the holiday season exactly what you want it to be? Next week, we're going to offer ideas to streamline the season for yourself and your loved ones with simpler, less stressful, less cluttered approaches to holiday preparations. Join us on October 31st for Smiling Faces and Warm Wishes, Decluttering the Holiday Season.
It's that time of year again.
It is. I can't believe it. Gail, why don't you give us the tittle?
Okay, this week's tittle is called Junk in the Trunk. This week's assignment is to evaluate an item in your space to decide whether you still want or need it for the journey that you're on. Identify an object in your home that's a candidate for decluttering. Reflect on our metaphor of decluttering as a road trip and ask yourself these questions. Am I still taking the same journey I was on when I acquired this item? That's a very good question. Am I on the same journey now as when I got this item? Do I still want to allocate space in the car for this object? That's great. Does this really need to be in the car? What else might I take along with me if I left this item behind? What could come into the car if I let this get out of the car? And if you're ready to lighten your load, let go of this item by gifting, donating, or discarding it. Love that analogy. Give it a shot, and hopefully it will mentally help you think about it in a more neutral way and make some decluttering progress on your projects. Come back and tell us about it.
Okay, one more tiny announcement, and thank you to Connie for calling this to my attention because it completely slipped my mind. The clocks turned back in Europe last weekend, and we do not turn back in the United States until, I believe, November 9th or something like that.
Couple more weeks.
And so next week, if you found us at the right time this week, that's when you're good. And that's when we'll be meeting next week as well. I have the hardest time with this. I can never do it on the fly. Remember which way to tell you.
Yeah. So we're out of sync for a few weeks.
Connie says no next weekend. She thought last weekend. She said,
oh, it's next last weekend. Okay.
She meant next weekend.
All right. Well, so just pay attention to the time switch. In Europe, you may be about to jump to fall back and change your time, and we won't roll with you until a couple more weeks. So just pay attention so you don't miss us. Yes. If you'd like to come in Zoom live, we'd love for you to be here. So, and of course, if you do miss us, if it all goes awry and it all works, you know, it all falls apart. If you drive the car off the cliff, we will be, right? It will be up on YouTube and you'll be able to find it after the fact.
All right. If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We'd love to hear from you, so please keep your questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. You can always reach us through the website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Thanks for joining us every week. We really appreciate you being here. I love that we have so many participants from all over everywhere. That's super fun for me. And we have a great team of people that come into Zoom every week and come onto Facebook every week and participate live. And you guys really were jumping in today with the chat. So glad that you did.
They were firing on all 8 cylinders. They really were.
I know you're going to be so ready for us to stop talking about cars this week. Thank you, everybody. We love you so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.